It's a big show. It's a wonderful show this week. I'm back in Los Angeles. Was in New York for a while. Good times. I'll let you know about that. We've got Michael Knowles on the show. Michael J. Knowles. You've heard his podcast. It's fantastic. He's over at the Daily Wire with some kid named Ben Shapiro. Some dude named Klavan. Andy Klavan, I guess. They got a little thing going on. But we got him on the phone later. So much to talk about, Gypsy. It's always a big news week. I don't know where we want to start, so I'm gonna default to you. What do you think is the big story ripped from the headlines this week?
Ripped from the headlines. I haven't really had a chance to dig into it too much, but pretty big deal with the Mueller stuff. And depending on who you listen to, the world's either ending or there's no problem. I don't know which one it is.
We have got a lot of reverb on you. We got the reverb cranked up. It's like you're talking through a Fender Stratocaster, and you're about to go live on stage.
Wow, I have no idea why that's the case.
That's wonderful. So you're saying it's Mueller. I know there's a big freak out over Mueller. It actually makes me laugh. In a lot of ways, because how many times is this where the left is like, no, now we've got him. Oh, now we've got him. He can't wiggle out of this. Oh, we got him. And it seems like a whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of nothing to me.
Well, to me, the whole thing was Russian collusion, right? That was our mantra. Russia, Russia,
yeah,
Russia.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna finally figure out how he did it. How did Donald Trump get in with the Russians and win this election that was supposed to go to Hillary?
All the stuff I'm seeing is the risk for Trump is campaign finance stuff that came out of Cohen. There's no Russia, none.
Yeah, and if Trump did say, now granted, I'm no lawyer, you guys. I've never said that publicly before. I'm no lawyer, but
Are you sure?
Like if Trump is like. Here's how it seems to me. Like, Trump has a bunch of lawyers that work for him, okay? Mm-hmm. A bunch of, like, really good ones. And then he also has this dude, Michael Cohen, who's kind of like his glorified errand boy. Hey, Mike, go do this. Hey, Mike, go do that. And I'm sure Trump got wind of a couple of ladies who were going to want some money. They were going to try to sell their stories. And Trump might have said, hey, give those ladies some cash, keep them happy, keep them quiet. Here's the thing that I think is going to – that makes this difference from like the John Edwards thing that everybody keeps comparing it to. I think that this isn't the first time Trump's done this. I think – now it'll be ugly. It'll be very ugly. But I think he can probably – I think he has some receipts from some other checks he's probably written to some other ladies where he can show that like, hey, this is par for the course for me. This isn't anything out of the ordinary. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I don't think the problem was the payment per se. It was the way it was processed. I mean, everything that has come out of this, right, is such a freaking technicality. What did that Papadopoulos kid had to go to jail for 2 weeks for lying to the FBI?
Yeah, Papadopoulos. That's a crime right there. You know it's bad when you had to go to jail for 2 weeks. Like, you do more time for a DUI than trying to overthrow the government of the United States of America.
But, I mean, it was literally, like, a mistake. It wasn't even... There was no malice behind it. He literally made a mistake.
I mean, yeah.
The whole thing, people would talk about the perjury trap, and really, that's all I see in this entire thing, except for maybe Manafort, which everybody knew was scummy when they hired him.
Well,
he was hired because he was kind of scummy.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's wild how all of a sudden the Mueller guys are like, hey, you know what? Let's take it easy on General Flynn. I think Flynn's done enough. That's like to me, that's them going, yeah, it was really douchey the way we got him, so let's let him off. But yeah, they're gonna go for Manafort. That dude, I would almost guarantee, there's some shady dealings in his past. However, wasn't he in business with the Podestas?
Yeah,
wasn't
no
that the
shadier
whole thing?
Than the Podestas. That's all. Like, I read something the the statutes that he's being prosecuted under are abbreviated FARA, and nobody gets prosecuted under those. And had he never worked for the Trump campaign, he wouldn't have either. He'd still be doing whatever skeevy stuff he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when he got hired. Well, and we've said this on the show. Don't forget that, like, Manafort was hired to do one thing and one thing only. It was to make sure that everybody played ball during the convention, that everybody who said that they were going to support Trump continued to support Trump. That's his specialty. He's a specialty act. He did it for – I think he did it for Reagan. I think he did it for Bush 41. I might be wrong on Bush 41, but he's like – he's the guy that you hire to come in during the convention. And boy, I guarantee he wishes he hadn't said yes to that gig.
No kidding. I mean, he came in to whip the delegates. That's what his job was, so that they didn't try to take the nomination at the convention. There were plans afoot and all this other stuff, but that's why he was there. And I will tell you, because I was at the convention, and I went down on the floor, and I was in very close proximity, like, passing him. Yeah, he's not a good guy. He's creepy. Creepy. You know how you just get that vibe off somebody?
Yeah.
Like, don't make him mad. I'm out of here.
Dig it. Dig it. And it's like, and I hate to judge books by their covers and all that, but I actually think there is something to that whole instinct when you see somebody and you're like, don't know about that. I get that vibe from quite a few people on the right. Here's what I want to go with. Because I think the Mueller probe, I think it is a whole bunch of nothing, and it's going to be process crimes and that whole thing. The left just loves to bandy the word around felony. I am still on build the wall. That's still my thing. To me, that's the clock is ticking on build the wall. We need to go. We need to go now. I was watching the Sunday shows this morning, and the number to me seems insanely low. Like, Trump is asking for five billion to build the wall. If the Republicans can't get that done, I will go off. I will go off. You've got till January.
You need a 2/3 vote in the Senate to get that funding bill through the House. It's going to pass the House, right? You need 2/3 in the Senate. You're never going to get it.
Okay. So what are our options?
Shut down the government. I like it when the government shut down. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, because it's a partial shutdown.
The military still gets paid. Unessential employees go home around the holidays. They get some extra vacation. They get half the year off anyway. And they can't do anything that screws more stuff up. Like, when the government shut down, they just don't do anything. So good, shut it down.
You know what
I don't care. Just
you know what I think?
Down.
What about this? I wonder how. Here's what we should do. We should find out, when you do a partial shutdown of the government, how much money do you save every day? And then they should just calculate it, and we should just shut down the government until we've saved up $5 billion, and then just reopen it right back up.
But nobody. No normal person running around living their lives knows when the government is shut down, other than when Obama went out and did really, 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 like, vindictive things, like shut down highways and monuments and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows. So why do we have all those non-essential employees anyway? What are they doing?
Yeah. That's always the awesome joke. Mm-hmm. Is that you know, if you're a non-essential employee, don't show up to work. And like, if you're a non-essential employee, what are you doing there in the first place?
Again.
how many other corporations have non-essential employees? None. If you don't have something specific you're doing, don't show up at all. I think not building the wall, not getting the wall, will just be huge. It will change politics, I think, forever. I think this is like a Tea Party kind of a moment, and it'll be a huge, huge awakening, because you've got these people. You've got Nancy Pelosi on tape saying it. You got Hillary Clinton on tape saying it. You got Obama saying it. You got Chuck Schumer saying it. They all want to control the border. They're all on record as saying they want to do this. They want to do this. And now, like, Pelosi's already she's already come out and said there's no way. There's no way.
Oh, that's not all she said. She said it's immoral.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Completely loaded language. But this is actually coming at exactly the same time as something else that's been quietly going on in the background that is going to make their heads explode sometime.
What is it?
Oh, so there's this classification that you are in, and I have to remember the name of it. But it's basically when you come here, right? You want to apply for permanent residency, you can be denied if you are considered to be something called a public charge. And a public charge has been very narrowly defined as someone who takes certain types of public benefits. The Trump administration wants to widen that to all of them, basically. So food stamps, Medicaid in certain circumstances, all of the types of aid and support that people are coming over here to take advantage of. If you now take advantage of those programs during the period of your time you're here, when you apply for permanent residency, the answer is going to be no.
Okay, I'm super confused here. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to the country, they're considered a public charge?
No, if they take the benefits, they would then be classified as a public charge, meaning you're a ward of the state, not a ward of the state, but you're taking advantage of the state by using these programs. So for us to make you a permanent resident and certainly a citizen is not to our economic benefit.
Okay, and then that would hurt your chance of becoming a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
Because you have to be a permanent resident first. Get your green card.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So you would not be getting a green card if you were taking advantage of those programs. So if say you came over legally on chain migration, right? So your brother came over, so you come over 6 months later. If you come over after your brother, you're on a different type of visa, right? Then if you start taking advantage of the public dole, you don't ever get your green card.
Oh.
And see, wow, everybody's the left is freaking out over this because the proposed regulations came out, oh, I don't know, like back in September before they went to public comment in the Federal Register, right? And they're freaking out and, oh, this is terrible. So I started looking and, you know, Australia and Canada, they let people who come into the country take advantage of certain programs. Number one, because they have socialized medicine, so it's what everybody's on. Big deal. But some other programs as well. But the way they get around looking like big old jerks, like this kind of makes us maybe look a little jerky. I think it's fine, but the way they get around it is their immigration system is a point system that's based on merit. They don't have chain migration. They don't have a visa lottery, right? So you have to score certain points in education and language ability and all this other stuff before they're even going to consider you. We don't have all those things. The Democrat turned down Trump's bargain. Give me border security. Give me more merit-based by great migration, and you can have 1.6 million DACA kids, right? They said no. So if you don't give me merit migration, I'm turning off the faucet somewhere. And it's going to be in this whole thing, you can't get permanent residency and a green card if you're taking public money.
That's going to be a tough sell. That's going to be a tough sell, just from an advertising perspective, because it's like, hey, but if they're illegal, see, that's the whole thing. It seems like beyond the, like, if you sneak into the country, you shouldn't be getting any benefits whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you took a chance. You took a chance. It's like, it's not like, if it's your house, hey, let anybody in your house, but make sure you leave out a plate of cookies. It's going to be, it's a tough sell. Because, like, as you're explaining it to me, my head is... Well, you need to be able to say it fast. It's like Trump was saying they were talking about they were going to do the tax relief act of blah 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 blah, and Trump is like, no, just call it a tax refund. You know, you got to put a different label on it.
Okay. I was being wonky and explaining, but it's like this: either give us merit based immigration, or you don't get permanent residency if you're on the dole. It's one or the other.
Yeah,
you refused me merit based immigration. I offered you a deal. You said no, so I'm doing it. You don't get permanent residency if you're on the dole. Because even the people that are coming across now and saying, give me amnesty, those people have a different classification. They're here legally, but they still eventually have to apply for permanent residency, a green card.
Yeah.
So if they're on the dole in the middle, the green card's a no.
Well, that's I'm all for that. I'm all for that. We're gonna have to put on our thinking caps on and come up with a catchy name for that whole thing.
No here's, soup here's the for other, you.
No, yeah, no soup for you. The No Soup for You Act. Absolutely, that's a great way to go.
Well, I mean, come on, it's the soup Nazi, right? It would be perfect.
Well, right, the soup Nazi's thing. Like, if you weren't ready to order, or if he was a little bit offended, it was over for you. But that's, I like the no. If you snuck into America, no soup for you.
No soup for you.
That's what we should do. That's exactly what we should do. Okay, so a lot of people on the right are very excited about this whole Comey's coming in to testify.
Oh,
Comey's
God.
Coming in. So he just did, and it was just a whole bunch of nothing. Just a whole bunch of nothing. He's like, I can't remember. I can't recall. My lawyers say I shouldn't answer this. It's a ginormous waste of time.
There's the email. They released
an email.
What's his name? The independent counsel that's looking into all this. He released some emails, and the public hasn't seen them yet, but Devin Nunes has seen them and really wants the president to declassify them. Between the Strzoks and Pages and McCabe's and Rosensteins of the world, when all of this was unfolding, and Nunes thinks it's a real problem.
Well, listen, there's been tons of emails and tons of text messages already.
Mm-hmm.
Already, I don't see why would they bring, and this is maybe just me being stupid, I don't know why you bring Comey back, unless it's some kind of perjury trap, but I don't think it's even going to be an effective perjury trap, because the guy's saying, I don't remember, I can't recall, my lawyers are telling me not to answer, so it doesn't even seem to be a good perjury trap. Here, they need to move on this stuff. Even if Trump and his boys and his lawyers, they're like, okay, we're gonna release this. It's like having pocket aces when you're playing poker. Maybe they're holding on to this and they're gonna like unleash it at a further date. I don't know, but it's like, man, if you can't make your case now, if you cannot make your case against Peter Strzok and Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr and all of this, like, what are they waiting for?
I have a theory.
I'd love to hear it, because it depresses me. It really depresses me.
We knew the midterms were coming, right?
Yep.
Horowitz, who's the, the independent investigator in the DOJ, is still working. So we've already gotten a little bit from Horowitz, and then there's some more coming from him. We lost the midterms. We lost the House. I think President Trump, because there was talk he was going to declassify some things before the midterms, I think he waited to see how the midterms were going to go, and he's going to wait to see what these hoople heads do in January in terms of investigations and a lot of other stuff, and then he's going to start knocking pins down.
So
that's theory.
That's my pocket aces theory. Mm-hmm. That like he's got a good hand and he's just waiting for when he's gonna play it. I hope that's the case. I really do.
So I
really, because this is where the anger comes from on the right. It's like when you have Hillary Clinton and what she did with her emails, and then Huma Abedin gets copied on all the emails, and then they're popping up on Anthony Weiner's laptop, and it's classified stuff going everywhere and anywhere. And even if you go back to 2016, when Comey first came out and said why they weren't going to bring charges against Hillary Clinton, and he caught her in a million lies, and he's like, there were classified emails. She said there was none, but there was this many. Like, we've already established giant crimes that, mm-hmm. that kids who were stationed on submarines went to jail for.
Mm-hmm.
These are big crimes. And then when you've got Manafort and Papadopoulos, like, oh no, you said something different when we interviewed you last week, and now we interviewed you this week, and you changed your story, you're going to go to jail. Like, that, there's either the rule of law or there's not. And that's where I get insanely frustrated.
Some of it that's getting thrown back on these guys that were associated with Trump is lying to Congress. Let's see, Brennan lied to Congress, Hillary Clinton lied to Congress, Comey lied to Congress. When did that become a thing? Why can we only hold one side accountable for lying to Congress?
Exactly.
That's what drives people nuts, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, mm-hmm. like, one of the things that they got Manafort on is, like, he didn't fill out the form, some kind of declaration that, hey, mm-hmm. I got paid by the Ukrainian government. Podesta.
Foreign agent registration.
Yeah. And then one of the Podesta guys did the same thing. Mm-hmm. The exact same thing.
And he got immunity.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, my email crashed that day. Can I fill that out now? And they're like, yeah, okay, pal.
Right after I clicked on the link from the Nigerian prince. Yeah.
It's just outrageous. It's just outrageous. I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at the counter. How long have we been going on this? Time flies.
Oh, my gosh. 20 minutes. Almost 22.
Listen, we're going to have to get to Kevin Hart on the other side of this break. We got to talk about the Kevin Hart Oscars thing. But I say that the break, I'm talking about the interview with Michael Knowles. We talk about the Kevin Hart thing a little bit, but we're going to come back to it. You guys, I met Michael a few weeks ago. He's an awesome dude. He's a fun guy. He's got an incredibly successful show over at the Daily Wire. Here is our interview with Michael Knowles. Make some kind of signal.
Hearken to the voice. You know, I think we've figured out that AT&T is a little less censorious of us than big technology companies. So Skype is killing us. All of the online companies are killing us. But AT&T will let us speak. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I rejoice. I totally rejoice. I remember in the olden days when Skype was wonderful, when it was a magical, mystical place, and then Bill Gates and the crew took over, and it's been downhill ever since. It's been horrible ever since. But now we're communicating, so that's great. In our first attempt, we were talking about, we did this event, and I feel bad because I feel like I should give him a plug. You and I were on a panel during down at the Melrose Improv for that. It was during the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing. I had done a little bit of stand-up. I was feeling my oats and professing my love for this president. But then during the panel thing, I thought I'd ease back. I'm like, maybe I've gone too far. Maybe I went too fast. And then you just came out and started throwing haymakers, dude. It was awesome.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because when you go do these things, they'll buy you a free drink. So I had at least one martini course in for my bank. And I was so frustrated by that outrageous Brett Kavanaugh's controversy. These women, now at least one of them is being criminally investigated, I think two of them are, for making false claims, trying to derail this guy who's the most milquetoast, upstanding federal judge you could possibly think of. And it was very funny because I think the majority of the audience probably wasn't with us. But this gets to my entire theory on the culture wars, which is that we should... if there is, as some commentators have suggested, a cold civil war or a cold cultural war, our strategy should not be to be kumbaya and to be conciliatory. It should be we win, they lose. The left is always aggressive in the cold war. The right should be aggressive, too. And I think now, for the first time, certainly in my lifetime, we're actually winning.
Well, I wish that were the case. In terms of the culture war, I still think we're getting our butts handed to us. I've got a shocking update I've been out in Hollywood doing my thing, and at the end of January, I've got some shocking updates. I don't like the numbers of it in terms of you can go and watch Samantha Bee rail on the president every night. You can watch Stephen Colbert rail on the president every night, and Trevor Noah and Jim Jeffries, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Now, where is this is the question I ask all the time on the podcast. Where is the answer show to that? Where can people go to hear jokes about the left? If you're not subscribing to a service, where can you go?
That's exactly the issue. I mean, now I remember a little while ago that magazine covered all the late night comedians, and they were all 100% of them left wing. Why is that? Because the gatekeepers, you know this just as well as anybody, the gatekeepers in Hollywood are not going to give a major late night show to a conservative. They're all in the same political club. And so luckily the new media have offered some outlets. I mean, there are places, obviously we're on a new media platform right now, and so that has given conservatives a voice. It's why conservatives totally own the internet and do so well there, is because it's the Wild West, or at least it was until recently. And this is why the censorship from big technology, which is not just their free voices, but now they're censoring and banning mainstream conservatives. I had my Twitter taken away indefinitely because I told a lame dad joke about the election. I said Republicans vote on Tuesday, Democrats vote on Wednesday, and they banned me. They took me off of Twitter. And then, ironically, Democrats took my advice, and they voted Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we had recounts. This is a major threat. You know, if we don't get a handle on this censorship issue, then even this one place that we've managed to find in the culture is going to be taken away from us.
That's my concern as well. I've not been banned yet from Twitter. I've not been banned yet from Facebook, however, but that's why I started theloftistparty.com. You just have to have some kind of toehold in the actual internet. Now, here's what I want to know. How did you get in with, how did you become part of the crew over at the Daily Wire?
The best advice I can possibly give, if you want to get a political podcast at the Daily Wire, is don't write a book. I spent my entire life researching a book that had no words in it, Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a Comprehensive Guide. And as a result of that, we launched my show, because that book, which truly, of all of the stunts I've ever pulled, I thought that one would be just a little joke to irritate my Democrat friends. And it became the number one best-selling book in the world for about a week and a half. And then the president...
That's outrageous!
It was insane. And, you know, because the president spends probably a third of his day irritating his opponents on Twitter, he decided to endorse it as a great book for everyone who was over. And so then it jumped back up again. So he did that. But, you know, really the way that I got involved with the Daily Wire is because conservatives in Hollywood, you know this well, are a beleaguered group. You know, they are constantly under siege. So we all kind of know each other. And we'll hang out together. And so I knew those guys, Jeremy Boring, Dan, Andrew Flavin, through those kinds of circles. And so the Daily Wire started 3 years ago, and it's totally exploded. And I think the reason it's exploded is just simple supply and demand. As you said at the beginning, there are all of these outlets for the left, but the right has not had those opportunities. So if you give them some commentary, humor, some whatever, some news, they're going to jump right onto it. I think we've got to thank the left in a sort of backwards way for setting the stage for conservatives to have success on the internet.
Yeah, I think so too, but it almost seems like, and maybe this speaks more to me being a pessimist, but it seems like they just keep picking people off one at a time. Like, I'm no huge Alex Jones fan, but he's gone. He's been non-person. And I was reading a Jordan Peterson tweet. I guess Patreon kicked off Milo Yiannopoulos, And now, like, Gavin McGinnis has been declared, like, an enemy of the people by the FBI.
It's unbelievable, because I knew that this would happen when they banned Alex Jones. Some conservatives said, well, he's just a shirtless vitamin salesman who thinks the clubs are gay. You know, who cares that they knocked him off? And I said, it's not about Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a test run. He's a trial balloon to kick off all of the rest of us. You kick off Alex, okay, you say he's really fringe. Then you kick off Gavin McGinnis. Well, Gavin McGinnis, I mean, he's been around a long time, found advice. He's a comedian, so he's getting in trouble for telling jokes. Isn't that what comedians do? Who's next? I mean, next is obviously all of the rest of us. And I think you've got it harder even than we do. I mean, we do political commentary, and so we're always throwing haymakers. But for conservative comedians, I mean, there simply are not that many. And you're set at the Improv, totally killed. You're so funny. And I think the audience was shocked because they haven't heard that. They haven't heard right-wing comedians before. I don't even think they knew that they existed. And it's just when it's such a small group, it's so much easier for the left to just go in, target, and silence them.
Yeah. I'm doing this new thing now. I was down at the Comedy and Magic Club at Hermosa Beach recently, and I've got this new way of I talk about the political correctness and how Europe has gone crazy, and I'm making fun of the English because they're going to ban the word brainstorm, and they're outlawing knives and all this, and everybody's on board. 100% of the audience is on board. And then I go, and now with America, and that's why I like Trump. And boy, it's just, you can just watch them have meltdowns. It's fantastic. And they're conflicted. They're like, I like this guy, but I'm not supposed to like this guy, but I like this guy. It's fantastic.
Like he's won me over. And now there's this entire movement to go back, and whatever any comedian has ever told a joke about, even if it was 10 years ago, to go back, and if it's violating the spirit of the times, make some persona non grata. We saw that with Kevin Hart at the Oscars. It's not as though Kevin Hart is some right-wing, rock-ribbed conservative. Even he was taken down by it. It's certainly evidence that if you marry yourself to the spirit of the age, you'll find yourself a widow in the next. But where does that stop? I mean, now that it's even affecting left-wing comedians, does that give the rest of us hope?
Well, I think it does, as they're going to have to admit they're going too far. Like, Trevor Noah has to be breathing a huge sigh of relief, because I remember like a week after he got the gig, and Trevor, I know Trevor, and you know, he's a good guy, but he had some jokes about the Jewish community that were terrifying. Like if those came out now, he loses everything. He's back to doing stand up in Soweto.
That's right. you look at him and you think, well, if they're going to eat their own, you know, this is a pretty strange state of affairs. But I really wonder with all, I mean, good thing there aren't any Jewish people in Hollywood, so there's no one for him to offend. But, somebody like Kevin Hart, he made a joke about gay people. How many comedians have never once made a gay joke? Zero? I mean, is there one comedian on earth who's never made a gay joke? If that is now the bar, are you simply not allowed to laugh?
Yeah, and I tell you, well, and it's, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who they're going to get to host the Oscars. It'll be interesting to see, because yeah, every comic has a bad joke. Every comic has a distasteful joke. Every comic, the good ones anyway, have somehow. Hopefully they've pushed some kind of boundary and you know, done something mildly offensive. You show me somebody who's completely unoffensive, and I'm going to show you a lousy comic.
Well, that's exactly right. And what's pretty bizarre now is that nobody is allowed to laugh. There's simply no permission to laugh. Obviously, this is because the left doesn't find so much humor in this present moment. You have Jimmy Kimmel crying on his program every night instead of giving a comedy monologue. But how do you recover that? I mean, all the good comics that I see have a sense of humor. And I mean that very literally, a sense of balance. They can detach themselves from the world. They can have a little distance. They can laugh about things. It just seems like these comedians now who are whining and shrieking and crying about the president are, they're just too close to it. It's so emotional for them that they don't have the distance to laugh about it.
Yeah, and really, I think it's, whoa. I think it's awesome, and it's one of the great side effects of the Trump presidency is that, like, all these masks are now are all off, and you see, you know, the personal politics on everybody's every late night comedian side. You see the personal politics of, you know, the mainstream media. It's just there's kind of a relief in knowing whose side everybody is on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's such a good point. I totally agree with that. We hear that Twitter is coarsening our culture and social media is coarsening our culture. Perhaps it is, but really what it's just doing is exposing people. Do we really think that Jim Acosta and Don Lemon were objective, fair-minded journalists 3 years ago and it simply shifted because of Donald Trump? Of course not. Donald Trump, in his highly trollish way, has simply provoked them into exposing who they are. Anderson Cooper, the so-called journalist on CNN, referred to Tea Party constitutional conservatives as teabaggers in what was that, 2013 or even earlier. This, letting this facade fall down, I think, really benefits all of us because it's perfectly fine if you want to read Vox.com, but then maybe you should read the Daily Wire, too. It's perfectly fine if you want to read the New York Times. Maybe you should read the Wall Street Journal, too. It's a pretense of objectivity and fair-mindedness that is so pathetic, and now I think nobody believes it.
Yeah, a study came out. I think the number's up to like something like 90% of the Americans realize that the media is biased, and that's the wonderful side effect. Hey, this is insanely interesting, and I love it, and I'm a huge fan of everything that's going on over at the Daily Wire. There's a couple of questions that I just have to get to, so it's a horrible transition here. But like, do you have plans to write another book? I'm sure you can't do a follow up to Reasons to Vote Democrat, but are you working on another book?
Well, you're using the word another, I think, fairly liberally, but I see the point. I think that my next magnum opus will be a 3-volume Caro-esque biography of the Hillary Clinton presidency. And I think it will have very similar content to my first book, you know, maybe a little more blank pages. No, I actually am working on a book now. This shows you how far down publishing has fallen. When they bought my blank book, part of my contract was that I had to write a real book. And I tried to tell them that not writing a book in no way suggests that a person can write a book. But nevertheless, I'm giving it the old college try now. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, is it going to be about the rise and fall of Clinton, or can you give me any clues?
Yes, I'll be going on this Young America Foundation speaking tour to all of these colleges where, you know, the leftist tears poured out. I've basically been white water rafting my way from coast to coast. And the topic of this tour has broadly been the simple joys of being right. There are a bunch of studies that show that right-wingers are much happier, more satisfied with life, much more content, find greater purpose, have more stable lives. And so I've been examining a series of spoofs of why that is, and I think this book is going to take a more detailed look at that question.
That's fantastic. And I love the whole hypothesis, and I believe it's correct, but I'm going to wait for your insightful, wonderful book. I just wrote an article for my website, theloftistparty.com, about statistically the right is having better sex and more of
that's
it.
That's right.
More of it. It's great. We're having more
I
sex.
Saw this.
And it's freakier.
There's Republicans and conservatives have statistically significantly more and better sex than left wingers. Don't surprise to me. So many other of these studies come out university that showed that a quarter of college students now, 2 years after the presidential election, are suffering symptoms of PTSD, clinically high levels of stress, because a Republican won the White House. It would be akin to someone who witnessed a mass shooting incident 7 months after that incident. Something has clearly gone wrong in the balance, the psychological balance of these people. You've got to figure it out.
I think I really do, and this is going to sound hacky as as one comedian to another. This is a totally hack premise, but I think it's what it is. It all goes back to everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon. We overcompensated this whole self-esteem is the most important thing. We way overcompensated. Now we're reaping the horrible rewards from that. And this is why I don't like big government in control of education. It's why I don't like big government in charge. They make mistakes. And when they do, the ramifications are like PTSD because somebody won the election. That's insane.
You're exactly right. The participation trophy analogy is exactly right because it applies politically. Politically speaking, these millennials all came of age in the age of Obama. Maybe during the 2006 election, they were somewhat politically aware, which was the other wave election for Democrats. And so they've constantly won. They've always gotten what they want politically. They've gotten it in Congress, they've gotten it in the Senate, they've gotten it at the White House. And so they think that there is a road to progress. They think there is a utopia that we're marching for. That's the definition of a progressive. And so if you stand in the way of progress with a capital T, you've either got to be an idiot or evil. You've got to have bad intentions. And so when they see this happen, they can't believe that people would impede their vision of progress. They simply don't believe it. And I think they didn't know it was even logically possible. And so now, you know, they're suffering PTSD. If only they'd gotten, you know, punched a little bit in high school or something, they might learn that life doesn't always go their way.
Exactly. This is the big time agreement at the end of the interview agreement. This is you're absolutely right. Like the having to deal with things that don't go your way, and like I either have to try a different method, I have to try harder, I have to learn to accept this. It's wonderful, dude. We could do this for hours and hours and hours. One last question before I let you go. This is just a wild curveball. What's the last piece of music you've downloaded? What's the last thing that you're like, ooh, I gotta buy that song? What's the band?
Oh, let's see. The last piece of music oh my gosh, this is an extraordinarily embarrassing answer. But, you know, as someone who occasionally wears bow ties, what can I say? The last piece of music I downloaded is a song from an album called Music from the Time of the Crusades. It's called Abjoy et Abjovan Papais. This shows you, this explains to you how Middle Easterners become radicalized in Islam. The culture is so weak and shallow and frivolous today that I am now downloading songs from, you know, the 13th century. This cannot bode well for the world order or for our culture.
Okay. All right. Listen, I have to hear this.
It's really incredible. You're going to want to strap on the Red Cross and start marching to, you know, Deus Vult into Constantinople or something once you listen to it. You really got to proceed with caution.
I tell you what, we have to get in your, seriously, dude, we have to make a video of this. I want to get in your car. We're going to crank up some Crusades music and just cruise down Sunset.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the reaction. I think it's going to be similar to the first Crusade. You're going to see similar reactions from the people in La La Land.
That's fantastic. Hey, Michael Knowles, check out his show. He's got a phenomenal show over the Daily Wire. Incredible podcast. Very funny dude. I really appreciate you being so patient with us. And I'm serious. We have to make a music video for the Crusades.
Let's do it, man. I'm in.
All right. Hey, have a great afternoon, man. Thanks again, buddy. I like that Michael Knowles fella. That's funny. He's a good dude. And the guts to publish an empty-paged book like that is just... that's. I love it. I love it.
I miss his bow ties.
I don't.
He still wears them once a month with the smoking jacket when they do the Daily Wire backstage, and they're all hanging around in the office drinking whiskey and smoking cigars, except Shapiro does a bubble pipe. But he does put on the bow tie then. And that's the Michael Knowles I know, because that's what he looked like when I started watching him. So
that is the Michael Knowles you know and the Michael Knowles you love. Okay.
Yeah. Pretentious. I think he wears it well.
Absolutely. Tucker Carlson. Carlson ditched the bow ties. I think he could go back to them every once in a while.
Yeah, he could.
It wouldn't hurt. We touched on Kevin Hart a little bit, and Knowles and I are of the same frame of mind here. Like, every comic's got something that they're not happy with. You've done something over the line once at some point in your
career.
You're
not funny.
Yeah, you're not. You're not even. You're not even trying.
You gotta make mistakes. You're not trying.
I can't wait to see who they do get the because whoever the Oscars hires next, first of all, they're going to vet that person like crazy. But what microscope that person is going to be under?
There's no way they'll be funny.
Well, here is this is my thought on the Oscars for a long time, and it's more true now than ever. The Oscars, first of all, hosting the Oscars, I've never thought anybody was like outrageously funny. There was some. I remember like good bits,
Billy Crystal did it. That was okay.
Yeah, but he did. He had that great bit where he would fold himself into all the movies that were nominated. You know, all the best pictures.
Right.
That was hilarious. I think what you have to do is get somebody to host the Oscars, like Johnny Carson. Everybody says that he was great. I don't even remember Johnny Carson hosting the Oscars. But here's what you need. You need someone to host the Oscars who knows the entertainment business, but they're not in movies. The thing is, Kevin Hart is always going to pull his punches because he's worried, like, oh, he can't make that much fun of Sony because he might have a movie with them in a couple years, right? You don't want to piss anybody off. And it's the problem with Chris Rock as well. And then sometimes you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because, like, if you're a guy like Chris Rock, who I think is insanely funny, you're like, oh, I'm not going to pull any punches. So then they even go farther, and they push it too far, and then it's distasteful. You can't win for losing. You need somebody in there who knows the game and knows the importance of it, but isn't afraid to just have fun. I think Letterman, I would bring Letterman back. I would bring him back tomorrow. I would just make him shave that old Santa Claus beard, but that would be great.
I think Miller could do it. They'll never let him, though.
Dennis Miller?
Miller's not scared of anything. Yeah.
Miller would be, he would be,
he's too far to the right. They won't give him a platform. He's obvious about it.
I don't know. Wasn't he just on Kimmel recently?
He might have been. The reason he gets on some of that stuff is because, like, he'll go on with Bill Maher. Because they're both, like, radical free speech absolutists. They both hate the shut-uppery that goes on. So they'll do stuff together. But since Trump's been elected, he's gotten kind of – he's pretty out there.
Who, Dennis?
Dennis, if you look at his Twitter feed, yeah.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of mileage.
I mean, I love him, but I don't think they'd give it to him.
No, they wouldn't. I think Jimmy Fallon's phone will definitely ring. You can't go back to who's the guy from ABC? Kimmel. You can't give Kimmel a shot. Like, Kimmel, you've got him on the sidewalk asking girls to grab his junk, that old piece of tape.
Yeah, but he cried over healthcare, so he's given his indulgences. They'll forgive him for that.
Well, they've also got him in blackface. I think there's just
too much.
Yeah, but
he has not paid a price for any of that.
Right.
And he won't.
He would now. If the Oscars are like, we're going to go with Jimmy Kimmel, they would just be inundated with memes of Kimmel running around in blackface, and so that they can't do it. It'll be interesting to see who they pick. I'm bummed that Kevin Hart even remotely apologized. I know he apologized to the LGBQRSLMNOP community.
Okay. Doesn't the Q stand for queer?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. So did you see what they did to the Heisman Trophy winner today?
No.
As this kid is winning the biggest award of his life, the biggest award in college football, some nobody, never done nothing but got a job at USA Today, probably never worked as hard as this kid did in his entire life, right? Is going through his Twitter feed, finds a tweet from when the kid was like 15, shooting something back at a friend going, "Oh, dude, that's queer."
Wow.
And writes an article on it that he then had to come out and again apologize for.
That's
Is that
that's
not
too
just
much.
Are you kidding me?
No one's kidding anybody. It's all very real.
I was so curious when, I mean, Kevin Hart was bad enough, right? Like, are you guys kidding me? But
yeah.
You got them going after the Heisman Trophy winner. You got them kicking Milo, Sargon of Assad, and about four other people off of Patreon, so they can't even raise money. Like,
yep.
They can't even take money from willing participants. And, you know, Eric Weinstein's convinced they're going to come for Ruben and Peterson, too.
I think they will. I retweeted a thing from Jordan Peterson now. He's trying to put together a list of everyone who's ever been banned ever. Mm-hmm. And when you start thinking about just the people who've been kicked off Twitter,
mm-hmm.
it's a big list. It's a big list of some entertaining, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. It's a big list. And now when Patreon gets rid of you and Gab is having, they're still fighting to, you know, get with their platform, and it's very, very, very scary.
There's a couple people in the world that, from an intellectual perspective, and if you really want to take them on, you're probably making a big mistake, right? So there's this guy in the IDW that you don't hear a lot from, but he actually named the thing. His name's Eric Weinstein. Weinstein.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He gets big data. He very clearly articulates what's going on here. He calls himself a progressive and has been kicked out of the left along with his brother, who was a professor at Evergreen University. This guy has billionaires on speed dial. He works for Peter Thiel, right? He's his managing director. And he said, "We're using their pipes right now. If they decide we can't use our pipes, don't think we can't find pipes."
Well, that's wonderful.
So,
do it.
Go, Eric. Go, Eric.
Well, here's the, I don't know. It's, ugh, it's not the funniest thing in the world, but it's the danger of the monopoly. Like, if you're not on Twitter, you're like, oh, you still have a platform. You're on Gab. Or whatever, you're on MeWe. Like Twitter is billions of people, and MeWe and Gab is like a couple hundred thousand or a million. It's almost like it doesn't matter. So if everyone else is on one pipe that is the internet, and you're like, okay, we've got another pipe. I just don't know if it's. It doesn't seem like it's worth it.
If you start hitting Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, those people have fan bases in the millions.
Right. But
they're gonna find their content wherever it is.
Like, when I started pursuing another television show like The Flip Side.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I do it, the reason I'm even pursuing this thing, is because I want it to be on television. I want it to be on television so that when people are clicking around, they go, oh, look, there's this thing. But when you just, when you're playing basketball on the public court, And you keep getting fouled. You're like, oh, I'll start my own basketball game. I'll go play in my backyard and I'll invite my friends. Well, yeah, you're still playing basketball, but you're not playing with the best players and everyone at the public court. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to, I'm not crazy about doing a, oh, I'll do a show on the internet. Like, I saw these kids the other day. They're like, oh, they're doing conservative comedy and they have a little, you know, thing on Facebook. And I guess that's something, but it's like, it doesn't have that. I hate the notion of it's less than, you know, if you start your own internet, yeah, you'll have your fans that come with you, but how are you going to find new fans? That's my whole thing. It's like, I want to change the perception of the right. I want to encourage more people to get in and join the conversation and do all this other stuff. Like, there's this other dude, Drek or whatever, that, oh, I'm going to do a conservative comedy show. Finally, conservative comedy comes to late night. That, it's not going to land on TV. It's just not going to land on TV. They won't allow it. And that's...
No, I know.
That's the big problem.
But, I mean, here's the other thing. And I can only speak anecdotally, right? I don't watch TV. I watch Netflix and YouTube. My kids don't watch TV. They watch Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Right. People keep saying that. I've been hearing this for flipping 15, 18 years now. How when Roseanne comes on, her numbers were huge. Mm-hmm. The audience is still there. The audience is, everybody keeps, I don't watch. Nobody watches anymore. And then Roseanne comes on and says, yeah, I voted for Trump. Kaboom. And she's getting these huge ratings. It's problematic, and I don't want to get up on a high horse. There's things that I would remember to say before we roll out of the podcast. I guess this goes in tandem with this. Glenn Beck and CRTV have formed a powerhouse. They've merged.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
That's a big one. However, word on the street. Damn it, and I wanted to ask Michael Knowles about this. Son of a gun. I guess Gavin McGinnis, I don't know if Gavin's show is coming along in under the new entity. Like, who will live, who will die? No, Gavin's been with us. He's been on CRTV for a long time.
I think... I'm not going to speak out of school. I thought he left a while ago. I know Michelle Malkin's not going with it.
What's her beef? What have you heard?
I have no idea.
I find it very, very disconcerting. I would be so bummed. If I was Gavin or Michelle or whoever. It's like, I threw my hat in the ring. I provided you content. I helped build this thing. And now you have a big merger and I'm on the outside looking in?
I don't, from everything Michelle... put out publicly, that was her choice. It wasn't anything that was demanded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it sounded voluntary, at least in her public statements on social media.
I want to know why, though. I want to know why. We got to get her on the show.
You're never going to know why.
You're never going to... she'll say.
No.
Okay, here's some other...
She'll be a classy lady. She's always been a classy lady. She's tough, but she's classy.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me...
Oh, dear.
I'm not going to do it. I'll comment about the Tumblr thing later. There's so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah, Tumblr eliminated porn.
It really bums me out.
I never went and looked at Tumblr porn. I honestly thought... Tumblr was mostly for really angry feminists, so I didn't really even have any idea that they did that.
Well, here's the thing with Tumblr, like I just got it, like it was perfect. I had the sites I liked, and I was actually stumbling across art. I was finding some really good like art sites, but like, listen, I was going for the porn. And that's what I was doing. I was going for the porn, yeah. And then I was casually being introduced into artwork. But like, am I going to go on Tumblr to look at like what anime news? What's the latest model design for Disney? What the hell?
It's just going to be angry feminists. That's what Tumblr largely is to begin with.
I didn't even know that. I thought it was just a bunch of like just superhero sketch cartoony. I take photographs, dorks. Well, Tumblr, I wish you... No, I don't wish you luck. I want you to fail. I want it to hurt really, really bad. Here's the wonderful thing, and I need to publicly apologize for this before the end of the show. I didn't realize people could DM the Loftus Party on Twitter, and I had to, like, approve their messages.
Oh, yeah.
So... I went into Twitter last week, right before I went to New York. New York was insanely busy. I have a ton of catching up to do this week, but there was a bunch of messages from like people that want to participate, there's this company called Cult 45, mm-hmm. And they do cologne, and it's like all the, I don't know anything about it, but I want to talk to them. I want to have them on the show. I want to help them out. First of all, I need a sample of the cologne because if it
Are
doesn't
you
smell
sure?
good, I totally want it. I want to smell. I want to know what Cult 45 smells like, and if it's awesome, I totally want to help them. They get a spot at the Loftus Party table. Now here's the other person. There's a wonderful and I can't remember her username, but I'm gonna have you ever heard of like a Reddit AMA?
I've heard of them. I have not participated in them.
I'm doing one for the Loftus Party. There's a listener of this show, and she's on Reddit, and she knows people, and so we're about to, I'll announce it here, but I'm going to do a Reddit AMA. It's going to be with a bunch of different subreddits. I don't know what it is. I go straight to American Medical Association. I don't know anything.
AMA.
Okay, ask me anything.
I do know that much.
I will do it. I'm all in. And I think last week I was able to thank the people from the Toledo Tea Party for the wonderful Tony Paco's pickles they sent. Those things are amazing. They're going fast. And also, you guys, and this is the wonderful... There's a couple people who contribute to the Loftus Party. You're all invited to contribute. Paul Hare. There's craziness going on in France. Mm-hmm. And Paul Hare somehow he wrote this great piece. It's still up on the website, but he's got like there's a reporter on the ground. He's got insane pictures and like play by play of what's going on. It's fantastic, and I just want to publicly, that's like, when he posted that, I'm like, holy smoke, this is like real news, this is like a real website, it's great, and Lisa Tate is doing wonderful stuff, she's got a great piece on there, but I'm just like, every once in a while, it just hits me, like, wow, this is a real thing. And I'm like, hey, here's my review of the new Avengers trailer. And then Paul Hare's doing like real news. And then Lisa's doing what wonderful stories. It's fantastic. You're all invited to play. We will. You know what we should do? You know what we should do, Jip?
What?
See? This is a great idea. We should have a little article on there or like here's the process. Right. So first you sign up and you join, and then contact myself or yourself is because mm-hmm. that's what it would be, right? They would have to shoot us an email and go, hey, my name is blah blah blah. I'd like to post a piece about this, and then we just have to unlock the thing, right?
Oh, once they register, they can actually post the short pieces that go over on the right.
Okay.
And if anybody can do that.
Once
they have an
account.
And if they have a cool video, if they want to write something, if they want to do a commentary on an article from another site, they can go right there, create a post, and there it is.
That's insane.
And then if they're over there commenting and writing stuff, then we look at their stuff and we say, oh, wow, I really like your stuff. Can we make you an editor? And then you get the big picture and the big center. And if they want to, they can.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. I didn't know it was that easy.
It's
I
thought there
was, I was adding another step. Holy
nope.
crap.
Once you register on the site, you can create a post.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Awesome news. All right. So that's where we're going to leave it. Next week, I want to talk about my big idea to get a bunch of men to insist they're women, and we're going to take over women's sports.
Stop it. They already took over Miss Universe.
No, I'm talking about I want to get weightlifters. I want to get wrestlers. I want to get boxers. I want to get baseball players who will now play softball. I just want the best male athletes in college and high school to insist they're women, and we're just going to take over women's just to prove a point.
Oh, it's disgusting. Did you see that huge man that was manhandling the Iranian women's handball team?
That was hilarious.
That's not hilarious. Those women work really hard to get. I'm serious.
I know.
That's just, you know, girls are going to lose out on scholarships. We're now going to lose out on beauty pageants. Now people are complaining scholarships aimed only at females are discriminatory. I mean, like, third wave feminists have ruined feminism because they're letting dudes take it over.
Yes,
they want to change our word to woman with an X where the A is supposed to be. No,
I just want to throw some gasoline on the fire. It's hilarious when you have a dude like that handball player going, yeah, I'm a chick. I'm totally a woman.
No, you're
I wanna
not
play.
A chick.
It's like, do you remember the Monty Python skit where the grown-ups played rugby against the little kids?
Oh, God.
I want it to be that. I want it to be that, but in every athletic endeavor. Just like these
that
big,
is the
giant,
you and
sweaty,
Noel
hairy
do.
Dudes going, my name's Linda, and I'm here to play.
That's the skit you and Knowles should do. You should produce that together.
That would be funny as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
all
mock
right.
it. Mock it to death. We'll make it go viral.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, that is another episode. I want to thank Michael Knowles. I want to encourage all you guys, because the gypsy just explained it. You can go. You can start posting stuff right now at theloftistparty.com. I always was hesitant to say it because I thought there was another step.
No.
But good Lord, it's easy. Okay. I want to talk about Mission Impossible next week. I want to talk about the all-woman's astronaut trip to Mars that they're talking about. I want to talk about American Airlines menu. You know what I might do? I'm going to write a little thing. I'm going to write a little thing later on today about what chaps my ass. I'm doing that every Sunday. I've made a commitment to that. So go to Facebook later and you can read about what chaps my ass. I'll see you guys next week.